didn't they start playing music in the office?
Gentlemen, please come in. Shut the door behind you.
Where's Frank?
Frank's on vacation. Indefinitely.
So who are you?
I suggest you don't speak until spoken to, Anthony Cusavario of 375 McDougal Street, apartment 8, second bedroom on the right, as you come through the door.
Tony, he knows where you sleep.
All right, calm down. Anyone can know that.
I also know quite a bit about you, Gerard McNeil, age 25. You sleep on a couch at the same address. Very convenient, I imagine, what with all of your midnight trips to the bathroom.
Tony, he knows where I move my bowels.
All right, look, mister. Frank's the producer of this show. We have a contract with him.
Your contract with Frank has been bought out. You work for us now.
Who is us?
Yeah, start talking. What do you work for?
They call me Digits. Mr. Digits. I work for a prominent media conglomerate. News Corp? Perhaps you've heard of us.
Yeah.
And I have been sent in.
But wait,
to take you.
I'm so sorry. Before you go on, can I just ask a quick question? No, I had a question. Mr. Digits,
you
I'm just wondering. What is your problem, Tony? I'm trying to ask a question.
I don't have a problem. You have a problem.
What
you have a problem
I don't,
with bringing up your questions in the middle of...
I don't always bring up my questions.
No,
yes, even if
do.
I do,
you
I don't know what business it is of yours.
Because
I
have to
I'm curious by
gentlemen.
Nature.
It's
so
not...
Gentlemen!
You're just being fucking...
Gentlemen!
No, he's not about to answer your question. What he's about to say, you don't have to listen. Never.
Go on, Mr. D.
Beginning with episode 11, your Burn Lab Party Hour is now owned by News Corp for the duration of the fiscal year, which will come to a close in early October. Now, you will finally be paid handsomely for your work, a prospect I'm sure you all can get used to.
We could.
However, there is to be no more cursing, no more running blue. You shall not use the words... Prison.
Wow, I don't even know who uses that. Like,
that's a lot of words
in everyday usage. If
or the phrase.
I have never heard that before. Where the hell did the beeps come?
The means
from?
Of our strict censorship is all laid out in your new contracts.
Okay.
All
assigning of which will require that all sketches, bits, guests, and discussions are to be pre-approved, re-pre-approved, pre-re-approved, re-re-pre-approved, re-pre-approved, pre-re-approved by the Approved Standards Committee of News Corp International.
What the fuck?
Okay, this is a joke.
What is so funny?
Mr. Kasuria,
you make profit off the same salacious bullshit that made us sick when we got into this.
Oh my god!
What?
I just answered my own question from earlier. That's why they call you Mr. Digits, because you're a numbers guy, so they send you in to implement a more profitable content. You know? I'm sorry. Again, I interrupted, but Mr. Digits, you have to admit,
it's
a pretty odd name.
It's a family name, believe it or not.
Actually.
Well, technically, you are a dick, so you don't see me letting you.
I'm the dick here right now. News Corp just pulled the rug out from under us, and you want to know how this asshole got his nickname.
Well, like
you stopped me from asking
the beginning,
so I don't want to hear it before everything got deep.
I'm Mr. Digits the 7th.
You are a dick!
Boys!
Shut up, asshole! Look, Mr. Digits, as you can see, we have discussed this opportunity at length, and we've agreed that we would rather be dicks and turning down this offer than be dicked by a bunch of corporate assholes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we may have started the Burn Lab Party Hour for fun, sure, but somewhere along the way, we started taking it seriously.
And that means we take ourselves seriously.
Yeah, super serious.
Then I suppose you can consider this coming episode your last.
Oh, don't worry. We'll be back.
Not in this office, you won't! I assumed you dogs walked here from whatever shithole roach motel you paid $2,000 a month for. You could have taken a limousine to the plaza tonight, you arrogant little shits!
Jesus.
But as you wish, let yourselves out. I hope your ideas and your pride keep you warm this winter.
We'll see you real soon, Digits. And you know what, on second thought, you should work.
Spoken to them?
Yes. They've just been in.
Yeah.
Well, they turned it down, and normally I would say pay it no mind, sir, but... You know, I just don't know. I'm standing in front of them, you would swear they were any bunch of bums, but, I think we should stay on top of these guys.
On top and inside, Mr. Digits.
Right.
Make them another offer in a few months. Burn Lab. What a fantastically crude bunch of...
Hey,
Alright, everybody, here we go again.
Booyah.
Welcome back to the Burn Lab Party Hour.
Booyah kasha.
You know, Jared, I think maybe I say this too much.
You don't, Tony. I know for a fact that you don't. Go on, what were you going to say? I have no idea what you're going to say, but you don't say it too much.
I feel like we're in the middle of like a Johnny Carson bit. Like,
bada bing.
What I'm about to say or something.
Yeah. Karnak.
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 Perfect.
Yeah.
Karnak. It's been done before. Maybe let's steer this in a different direction. But maybe I say this too much. You think I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a very special show. This is a special show that I'm really, really excited about.
Why is that?
You know, a few months ago, we started this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
With nothing but our bare hands.
Yep.
And some rudimentary tools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we were truly crawling out of the muck.
Yeah.
Like proto-podcasters.
Tin cans to wires and sending them out across the alleyways to our neighbors, trying to, you know,
mm-hmm.
grab their ears, their hearts, their minds, their souls. But a moment.
Just for a moment.
Just for a moment.
Well, at this moment, I am happy to say that I think we caught someone's attention. I think we touched somebody else out there
mm-hmm.
with the Burn Lab Party Hour.
And ain't that the goal?
That is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, this is a big success for us. After only 10 weeks,
mm-hmm.
the Burn Lab Party Hour was able to make contact with Mark Metivier,
yeah.
who was on the project...
The Road Less Traveled
The
by.
Road Less Traveled By.
The Road Less Traveled By, actually directed by A.J. Goodrich, who's right now
mm-hmm.
a senior student at USC. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps we'll find that out a bit later.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Exactly. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is what is going to make this edition of the Burn Lab Party Hour so special. We have a two-on-two exclusive.
What? Oh my god.
Exclusive interview. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I mean, Oprah's out of the box.
Mm-hmm. She's gone.
And in comes the Burn Lab Party Hour.
Leaving
with a high dollar.
Huge gaping hole in the industry left by Oprah.
A huge gaping hole
of
left
Oprah.
By Oprah.
That big O. The big gaping O.
That big gaping O has been usurped by
mm-hmm.
the Burn Lab Party.
Stake your claim.
So coming with a hard-hitting interview, I say we get right into it.
Sure, let's do it.
Everybody, this is Mark Metivier and A.J. Goodrich, producers, directors, creators, geniuses behind The Road Less Traveled By.
Today is day 200.
Day 200?
Since we left, yeah.
Why do you even pick this guy
Mark?
To come out and walk with you?
Because I have absolutely no one else. It started, actually, kind of as a drunken rant one night.
Okay.
I was shooting this shitty independent teacher, that director at US, like a professor at USC.
Are you Dick?
You want to say the name? You can say the name, yeah.
Well, I don't know if the movie will be shitty or not, but the experience was. His name was Everett Lewis.
Shitty.
And
shitty. Look out for this guy.
Turn alert.
I think the movie's coming out soon.
What's it called?
The Pretty Boys.
Oh.
The Pretty Boys?
Yeah.
Shitty.
He was really tough to work with, and so we'd, like, go back to my apartment, and while I was backing up footage, just drink and unwind from the day. So I was, like, drunk one night and going on a rant about how comfortable and convenient everything is in kind of the modern world, and how you just hop in your car and zip somewhere, and you can get whatever you want. And,
sure.
I don't know, kind of the ubiquitous nature of technology and the internet and Facebook and everything. And my friend Adam, who was there with me, who actually used to be a priest, was like, well, why don't you just sell all your stuff and go be a hermit? And I was like, actually. And so that was like the very kind of seed of the idea.
Yeah.
And I was engaged to a guy back in New York who I met here before I moved out.
Okay.
How
many years ago is this? Like 2 years ago?
Yeah, this was summer 2009.
Wow.
And so I decided I was going to walk across the country and get married to him. And at first I was going to, like, backpack and actually sell all my stuff, and that wasn't practical. UNC wouldn't let me do that.
You could have sold it off piece by piece along the way.
Yeah,
you know? Leave a trail.
Carry my bet with me and then get
all
rid of it.
Across
yeah.
the country.
But how did you
so
decide
had,
to make the movie?
Right. And I had two people early on who wanted to do it with me. One was Sati Kaur. She's this Indian girl. She's awesome.
Mm.
And the other was a friend of mine, John Conway,
okay.
who had worked on that shitty movie with me.
He's looking to escape as well.
And yeah, honestly. and so they did. They decided like
script you in.
They'd produce it, and we'd all do it together. And then at some point, we figured out like we need to have a supply car. Because if we're going to be making a documentary, we'll have all this equipment and stuff. And so, like, fall of last year, we kept having people say, like, yeah, I could maybe do it for a week or whatever. And it was shitty, and, like, I didn't know what to do. And so I called Mark up one night and was like, please, Mark, will you drive our supply car? At that point, it wasn't even an RV yet. And do the trip with me for the 7 months.
Phone call?
Yeah. I was working at Saloon.
Now on the other side, sitting in New York City,
right.
miles away.
Across the country.
Unsuspecting. Here
I
comes
will,
the phone call.
I will say I have known in my gut for a while I was going on this.
Hello?
For like 2 years. I don't even remember when AJ said I'm walking across the country like a year and a half ago or something. I went, fuck.
And you were just waiting. You were just waiting for this call.
Well, I did everything I could to sabotage it, including last summer. I was, like, getting fed up in New York.
Breaking his knees.
Yeah.
And he miraculously healed, goddammit.
Yeah. Well, I got mono last summer, but...
I'm sorry.
When I came here, I was trying to get some. Not walking across the country.
Yeah.
So, you know...
the excuse and the alibi.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was running Speakeasy Theater up at Saloon. I was working
right.
there 6 or 7 days a week till 6 in the morning, and... running a brunch crowd, like managing the bravery next door at like 8:30 in the morning on weekends, and just miserable.
To be fair, I knew that Mark was miserable with where he was at.
You were looking for all your
and was kind of itching to get out when
yeah.
I called him.
I was pretty miserable, even though everybody kept telling me, like, dude, you work at this place and there's all these chicks everywhere, and
yeah.
you're dating this person and you're running your own show. Like, things seemed like they were awesome. Or should have been, but I just felt like a failure, and I felt horrible, and I didn't want to be here. So I was in my apartment at, like, 3 a.m., which was an illegally subletted dorm room at Columbia University, like an RA suite.
That's how the big boys do it.
Yeah.
You know?
The grid.
Off the grid.
Yeah.
You can't find me! You can't find me!
I've been off the grid for a while. Like,
you can look all you want!
Since, like, 09, I think. Like January of 09, I've been off the grid. But,
so I opened up the freezer, grabbed some cash,
yeah.
and I was off the door.
30 seconds or less! 30 seconds or less!
That's not far from the truth. So I get this call late November, like AJ said, and I'm in my dorm apartment by myself working on my Weed musical. And it's like a Thursday night or a Wednesday night.
But what is what? Yeah, I'm going to ask you later what working on a Weed musical entails.
Because yeah.
you know, I imagine you're smoking weed.
Yeah,
then you don't feel great.
You're kind of right. You watch a little Law
yeah.
and Order.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, no.
I don't want to write, but I can't help but sing.
So I get a call, and AJ's like, "Well, I don't know. I was going to drive the supply car and." I said, well, here's the call, and I said, I don't know, man, I just got offered. I did. I was getting offered, like, a big promotion at my job, like, full-time manager, wouldn't have to bartend anymore, wouldn't have to bartend
nice.
I wanted to, would be running, like, Friday, Saturday night, huge parties, like, making good money, and they were publicizing Speakeasy for me, they bumped it up to every other week, like, paying for my advertising and stuff. I don't know. I started dating this girl that I didn't want to be dating, and said, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just such short notice. Give me a couple days. Let me get my shit together, blah, blah, blah. She said, okay, well, either way. So I hang up, and I went to my window. Sirens blaring, and I just kind of, like, looked out, and I was like, every day I wake up, I'm going to see something like this. So I picked up the phone, and I called him back and said, all right, I'm in.
That immediately was
it.
Like
5 minutes.
Yeah, it was like 5 minutes. Yeah.
And he went, like, I could hear his voice. He went, really? I went, yeah, I'm in. I'll figure it out. I'm in. When do I have to be there by? And he said, oh, we'll figure it all out. And I was like, okay. So I kept it secret to myself for a couple weeks, started telling a couple friends, and then told my job basically, like, the second week in December that I would be gone.
Wow, 3 weeks, yeah.
Nobody really understood what I was doing or what this thing was or what...
Did you know exactly what this was going to be when you went out?
Oh, no. I mean...
Yeah, did you know what this was going
to be? I had an idea, and it turned out to be something very different.
Flew out to L.A., started doing a bunch of work for it. Originally, I was supposed to just drive the truck, which became an RV.
Because we figured, like, we were going to need somewhere to live. It was going to be cheaper to get an RV.
Right.
And do that in campgrounds and stuff than pay hotels everywhere.
Yeah. And have, like, a supply van. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be driving this thing every day, which is awesome. I'll have so much alone time. But after, like, a week, people kept...
Well, after a week, like, for one, Mark was doing as much producing work as Sati and John were.
Right.
And so we made him a producer, and then, like, Sati couldn't walk one day because of shin splints or something. So Mark started walking for it.
Okay.
And then started walking regularly.
And then everybody kept getting hurt or sick, and I said, well, why don't we walk with a tandem team and we'll just do a team effort across
the
country.
So we were doing it.
Thus began, like, the team miles. And the drama.
And how we fell into what...
Right.
What we eventually did for the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Drank!
The thrust of the project changed over the course of creating...
Well, yeah, because, like, I'd sort of set out to... I don't know, make this, like, epic kind of expose on how people feel about gay marriage in the country.
But had AJ and David stayed together, right? Had it actually that long-distance work, whatever.
And
had
we been going to get married.
And had he gotten to New York, it would have been legalized. They would have gotten married this week. It would have been a fairy.
That would have been the
fairy tale.
Last summer in, like, June, we broke up.
Okay.
And so...
Where were you? You were still...
I was still in California.
And you decided still you're going to check out.
Yeah, I'd actually had a really bad HIV scare. And right at the same time as the breakup. So it was just like a shitty time. There was all these kind of things in flux. That's kind of when like everything changed. But I realized like I still badly wanted to do the walk.
Right. Maybe needed to.
Yeah. And we, I don't know, you know, we still like, it was going to be about gay marriage. And that's what we were talking to people about. But... Everyone was just saying the same thing all the time. It was like, well, I don't know, you know, you live your life, or and I'll live mine, or don't apologize for who you are, or it's really not my place to judge.
Really?
And that was the case, like, everywhere we went. And so, even in terms of, like, talking to people or interviewing people, got bored talking about it.
Listen, if
got
you
got really, really bored
Jared,
talking about it.
Jared, Tony, okay.
It's tough when you're making a documentary.
Yeah.
That's probably the last thing a director of a documentary wants.
But I was so much more excited about, like...
Yeah, other things.
Seeing the country and seeing America and where we are as a nation right now.
Right.
Like, what all these...
But I think
different
even,
places are
sure,
like.
Even beyond that, just living. I mean, you guys get it, right? People either get it or they don't. Something that we always talk about is, like, being on the bus or off the bus. Like, at the end of the day, AJ and I like to go have beers. Dare I say, get drunk sometimes, you know? We don't necessarily want to have a bedtime or to wake up some specific time or whatever. And there's a lot of people in the world who don't function like that, and they make you feel guilty. Like, one of the producers that was with us is like, no, we have to be up every morning. I want to be walking by AJ.
That was Sati.
Every day.
Walking. Honestly incredible. She's great.
Yeah, that's just how she functioned. And then... Tony and Jared, you guys are, would you consider yourself partners?
Jared and I are incorporated.
Yes, but working on stuff with each other, I mean...
Yeah, absolutely.
Calling on each other, you're making this show together.
Absolutely.
I think that that is something that is huge in this film, because AJ and I are best friends, but we've also discovered we are fantastic
working incredibly partners. Good working partners,
yeah. So, it gets difficult, like, at what point friendship and work or whatever cross the line, especially when... Your work is your everyday life and filming that.
Yeah.
But I think that's also something that's missing in the young minds is, like, teaming up with people and holding each other accountable and actually doing it. Because if there's one thing I've learned, it's why do it alone if you can get a group of like-minded people together?
Yeah.
Getting a group of like-minded people together is difficult.
Is actually really difficult. Yeah.
But...
Yeah, you
tried
us.
To do it.
Yeah,
it, you know,
well, because everybody's got their own goddamn idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Everybody came in with huge expectations of what the movie was or where the story should be or what was going on right when they got there, before they even started walking, before they were kind of there
for
any of
their boots in the
yeah,
sand.
Last,
go,
oh, you know,
our last camera guy.
Fade out. How dare you?
A good friend of ours and lived with AJ and everything, good guy, Mike Cox, like the first night he got in, we went out and everything. That Sunday morning, we're awoken at like 9 a.m., with a camera in our face, put at a table, and say,
and
like, okay, and like,
sequence structure.
You could just tell immediately, like, whoever that went back to LA and was saying, like, they don't know what they're doing, they don't have a movie.
What happened?
You need to go in and, like, save the movie.
That was John. John
like,
ended up being really shitty. He was negative and selfish the entire trip, was pushing us to 40 miles a day.
To get to location so he could see his girlfriend.
To get to location so he could see his girlfriend and to finish early so he could go
see
back and be with his girlfriend and get to school and do his own stuff.
He somehow
took about 5 pictures a day, 3 of it which would be
of himself,
and the other 2 would be pictures that his girlfriend sent to him.
Yeah, and he somehow found time to watch all the entire show of The Wire. All seasons.
Wow.
Of course. Entire
that's,
show
that's
of the Batman animated series. Like every episode of Futurama, he ran up our internet bill because he kept Netflixing himself secretly at night off his phone.
But he never, like, he wouldn't go out and do stuff with us. He wouldn't drink and he wouldn't smoke, which is fine. That's one thing. But, like, to not go out and be where you are and, like, talk to people that you're meeting.
Right.
Like, we went to this, we were in this hippie camp in New Zealand. Or not,
in New Zealand.
New Mexico.
You guys know where
New Zealand.
Yeah.
In New Zealand.
We took a wrong turn.
In New Mexico, we were at this like gay hippie camp. And
okay.
He holed himself up in the RV the entire time.
Because he had hurt himself again because he was walking too much.
Barely
miles.
Came out and like missed this, missed kind of a huge marker in the trip. And that kept happening, you know?
Was
like,
he a scared? Was he a scared of the gays?
No,
he knew
like 5 days into this trip he didn't want to be there. It took us 2 weeks.
Until you fired him.
Yeah.
It took us like 17 days to get to Las Vegas. In our first like group argument, I remember saying like, you need to talk to me and tell me why we're pushing miles. He's like, we'll talk about it in Vegas. Like, no, talk about it now. And he like shut down and stuff. We had this argument and I knew right then, I was like, I want him to go home now.
Yeah.
So close to Cali, go back to Vegas now.
Did
your girlfriend now?
Did you end up firing?
We didn't. Well, we're talking about There Will Be Blood, which is his like favorite movie. I mean, he's reverential about it. And I said something like that it was stupid, and that movies ultimately don't really matter all that much. They're just kind of passing entertainment. And he said something like, "Well, movies are the most important thing to me." And I was like, more than your girlfriend, more than your family.
Yeah, and he sat there
just
silent.
Like shut down.
So I can't believe you.
So it was. You asked for clarification.
So I stood up and went, okay, this isn't about There Will Be Blood. You guys need to have a talk and go to the park.
So we had a long talk about stuff. And I was like, look, I feel like you're miserable. I don't want you to be here if you're miserable. You shouldn't be. Go back to LA and do your own stuff. He said to me, he's like, I'm not a free spirit like you, and I can't just kind of take things as they come, and I don't know what we're doing or what my place is anymore.
Now, what do you think he meant by that? Now,
very honestly, he's not a free spirit. He's obsessive and sick, and
he's a very weak, sick little man. He's very manipulative. What people don't understand is just because somebody has a sense of humor and you're in film school is that he is incapable of carrying on a conversation beyond film, beyond
movies.
You can't talk to him about anything. And, you know, we couldn't go into a Walmart without him. The first thing he does is go to the $5 DVD rack. And he'd always walk out with like 4 or 5 DVDs.
Yeah.
This guy's a junkie.
Yeah, he accumulated. This guy's like a shitty movie junkie. I think he has the entire Criterion collection.
So you dumped him off at Blockbuster, go on a business sale, and you slam
him. He flicks you out of the hell out of that.
So I was like, John, if you want to be here, you got to be here, and you can't go on the way things have been.
Right.
And he decided to leave.
Mm.
Now, he decided to leave, in New Orleans.
Oh,
and then when he got back,
bought his plane ticket, gave him as much money as he had asked for, which is fair.
And tried to, like, we parted, honestly, pretty amicably.
Amicable.
characterized by showing goodwill.
And then when he got back, he started telling everybody I know that we didn't know what we were doing, and
he left because he didn't know what this movie was anymore,
and that the story was unclear, and then stole $900 from
damn.
Us.
Damn!
900 plus.
Double damn!
Is he on the 900 plus?
Well,
here's what happens, and this is, like, typical. It was some sort of 900 plus charge on, like, an auto towing service, like an auto service or something, from June 2nd. We didn't see it on the account until June 14th. AJ noticed it. My assumption about this is that he gets back to LA because he takes such shitty care of his car and left it in some parking lot. His car didn't start. So he had to call a towing service, bring it to a garage, repair it, and all that cost almost $1,000. So he just made the decision to act and apologize later. Swipe the card, use it, paid for it.
But he never said a word.
He never called.
Well,
never.
Perhaps. And honestly, if he had and had called me about it and talked to me about it,
he would have said yes. And
it might have been a different story, but
yeah.
The way he went about it and the way it happened. Like,
have you ever gotten it back? Or
not yet.
No.
And we're broken here with her number. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
And $900 would have really come in handy this week.
Jesus.
So, I don't know. Basically, he's a selfish fuck. We're not friends anymore, and I never want to work with him again.
Clearly,
yeah.
I think he's incapable of doing anything original because he's so caught up in, like, his memory of every movie he's ever seen that he just...
Right.
Does, he kind of, like, mimics his
right.
favorite whatever.
There's no, well, with people like that, there's no, okay, you know, first thought on this is what do I do for the film?
Yeah. But whatever.
What do I do today to help us out? Somebody needs a sandwich. Do we need gas?
Right.
I'm a producer.
Right.
What your job is in the work. You produce. You make anything and everything.
Make it happen.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know?
Be proactive.
Yeah.
Instead, he would just wake up in the morning, Google Map on his phone.
Soak.
Watch The Wire. Watch
you soak. And you see that everywhere now.
2 hours.
You see that everywhere. Like you said, everybody.
What is your guys' experience?
Everybody's
there?
Fucking soaking. Everybody's out there soaking philosophically.
Like,
goddamn sounds. Everybody's fucking soaking.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps,
you know?
Goddamn.
Yeah, get out there. For God's sake.
Just
you know
do some
mean?
Sharpen your spurs.
Yeah, is it
you dig those
hard.
Boots into that horse.
All anybody does now, you know?
Nobody wants to do
blah,
work.
Blah.
Nobody wants to do work
yeah.
anymore. Everybody wants a piece of work that other people can congratulate them on.
Right.
But nobody
but
wants to do
the work. Nobody wants to do the work. Nobody wants to get there. Just put it down in front of
you.
It's just going to appear.
Nobody wants to get there.
Yes, you in the red. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Mr. Spielberg.
Hello.
Just an honor, I want to say, to be working on your picture.
Yes, it is.
Okay. My name is Jimmy.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hello.
It's nice for you to meet me.
Yes, it is. So, I work with, you know, some of the people in the crew,
mm-hmm.
and lighting, and sound,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
makeup, and...
Mm-hmm.
I could.
They've met me too.
Sure they have. Yeah, we've all loved it. We've all really had a great time. I'm just
what can
here.
I do for you, Jimmy?
Well, if you notice, sir, it is raining.
It's very dramatic.
We're all out here.
Mm-hmm.
We are out here in the mud and the rain, and it is our dinner break, and we
right.
thank you for that.
Yeah.
This is a great half hour. We enjoyed it.
I understand that, you know, people need to eat once a day,
mm-hmm.
to be, you know, healthy-minded, healthy-spirited, to put forth their best work.
You are
on my projects.
A magnificently intelligent man, Mr. Spielberg, for thinking of us in that way. I just wondered, looked like you had a little more room in here in your tent, and we are in the Rangoon, and there are bugs, and there are dangers, and
mm-hmm.
this is a wonderful picture. The aliens look great, and the makeup people are
thank
doing
you.
A wonderful job.
Thank you.
And I think
thank
the,
you.
Well, the makeup people, I'm saying, are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Doing,
thank you. Thank you.
Sure. And I just noticed that, you know, it is raining,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
we are outside.
It's a very dramatic element. I think.
Sure. We're not shooting,
mm-hmm.
though. And we were just wondering if maybe it seemed like there was some room inside this very spacious tent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could all you know, take turns, or could we just get a little shelter, I think is what we were wondering.
I'm sorry, Jimmy, I don't follow you at all. You're asking if we could... I'm not sure.
There's a cameraman who got stung
mm-hmm.
by some sort of a beetle.
Oh yeah, Rob, he's met me too. I was very nice.
His arm is about this big now.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
And you have the medics
like a cantaloupe
tending to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, I have kind of a hay fever, so it's very important that I have fresh water and fresh air around me all the time.
We wanted to talk about the water as well. We were under the impression that this was going to be for all of us out here. Yet you've kind of been drinking water.
See, Jimmy, the thing is, in an effort to keep budget restrictions, et cetera, whereby the studio responsibilities and, you know, blah blah blah, various technicalities and stuff, we can't afford to bring water in for everybody on the shoot. That's just unreasonable. Okay, there's plenty of local water supplies.
Low budget shoots that have more water.
There's plenty of local supplies that all of us could be tapping into.
Can I ask you one question, Mr. Steven Spielberg? What the fuck are you talking about?
This is my question.
Did we cancel walking?
You've walked through the rain before.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are you doing?
But
you get to the last leg in your
Yeah. But
not
have you ever heard the story of the tortoise and the hare?
Tortoise and the hare.
See, the hare got so near the finish line
so
that he stopped to kick some Z's, and here comes the tortoise.
What are you doing? The Joe Coxes of the world. What's his, whatever's his name?
I had a different story.
Cockety Cock. He's over there. You know, you gotta keep walking. I'm thinking this guy's walked. They've walked through red states, blue states, rivers and rain.
We walked
mountains,
through
fire, mountains,
winds,
wind, rapture, floods,
heart,
a heat wave that has never hit this country like this before.
Lightning, gunshots, arrows, SWAT team.
The thing
orcs.
Was, we were planning on Sunday to have a bunch of people walk with us, and we didn't want to make everyone else walk through a shitty day.
Oh,
in
thank
rain.
God.
I mean, really, we got here. You know,
so we made it up Wednesday.
The walk kind of ended basically Friday night, last Friday night.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And the walk from the bridge to wherever, from the saloon up to Fordham tomorrow is
a little kind of ceremonial.
Ceremonial. Yeah. And like very low miles for us to do. It's almost like, okay, all we got to do is 7 miles.
Yeah, it's a slam dunk.
We're doing like 12 miles, 12 or 13.
Yeah, at minimum, we were doing 12 or 13 every day for about 6 days a week.
Each of
us. Yeah.
So we do 24.
Jeez. Andres Pacheco joins you on the trail.
He came down at... it was nice having, like, new energy in the last kind of part of it.
He's got a good energy, right?
Yeah. I mean, Andy's been difficult for me personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Dish?
Dish? Throw toss it out.
Oh, we all love Andy. I mean,
I'm
be in a room of honesty here, but... Andy came in very much like gung-ho, going to work.
Mm-hmm.
When really all we needed was just a third person there. Hey, can you walk this stretch? No, please play your guitar and entertain us. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Just a few more weeks till we're done. But suddenly developing a kind of working relationship that he, I felt, pushed on me was difficult for me. And we wound up arguing more of the time than not.
Really?
Yeah. And that's kind of, like, weird to go through, you know?
A, I don't need you to do any of this stuff, because even though it sounds stupid, I've been emptying the black tank in the RV since February. I've been getting gas at the... Like, I'm an asshole. It's like, no, if I know how to do something right, then I'm just going to do it. And I really want to teach anybody else. So there's, like, a lot of time where he's, like, trying to do stuff or, like, filling up my... You know, like, going to work when he didn't have to. And that's only coming out of his best intentions. But it felt like work. It felt suddenly like I am, for some reason, his, like, boss. When really he was Morse.
Yeah.
And
Morse. Kind of a, I don't know, spiritual kick and all that.
Yeah.
I love having him there.
Yeah.
Except, like, sometimes he gets nuts about, like, practical on a day-to-day stuff.
I don't think Andy should work ever. I think he should always be playing the part. You know?
Yeah.
That's
you
he's going
to
say, well, Mark, I need money. I need money. Yes, I need money. But... You know,
in a perfect world,
I'll give you 20 grand to play the guitar for the next couple months.
Exactly.
And let me come here.
Exactly.
But it was fun, you know, we made it. He walked when we needed him to.
He's great.
Let me ask you this then. How did you, you know, for all the independent filmmakers out there who want to get things underway, how do you put a budget together for a film like this?
I was in a pretty unique situation.
Yeah?
For this, in that, because I'm in school,
mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm on leave now. But because I was in school for the entire time.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote.
And enrolled in my thesis
right
class.
Yeah.
I was enrolled, which meant I could take student loans for the class that I was taking. But because I wasn't actually taking in class, right, the student loans could go to the film. Which really was my class.
Did you find this loophole, or this is a known
I don't know if other people work it.
It's legal.
It is. It's entirely legal.
If a bank puts a shit ton of fake money in your account, they did it. You know,
it's there. Use it.
And it's all on paper, so it's legal.
So that's what we did. It was student loans on top of it.
Yeah.
And, I'll have to pay it back.
Right.
By yourself, but that's, you know.
You gotta find, I think...
That's how we made it.
Nice.
You know, I find this...
How we got the RV.
Everything.
You are charged with the crime of stupidity!
Banks are so fucked. Everything's so fucked with money. It's like, what do we do? And it's only getting worse, right?
Right.
So what we do is we change the game. You change the game. You change people's expectations of how a movie is supposed to be made. Or how a radio show is supposed to be made.
Or what a documentary
should
be.
Right.
What?
You use your cell phone camera to get an interview because that's what you had on you and that's the technology available. So that's both saying something about our time. It's using what's in front of you. No, the image quality is not a Canon D7000 XLR, whatever, blah, blah, blah. No,
right.
The audio is shit. But you know what? It's a fucking documentary. You subtitle it and you show the image if it's important.
Mostrar la imagen si es importante.
Because that's the only way to do it nowadays.
I think the only reason that Mark and I made it from beginning to end is that he and I were the only ones who were excited and ready for the adventure and open to whatever happened on the way, open to change.
Well, now that's interesting, the idea that if you're coming out of a school setting that, you know, people have gone years kind of learning how a movie is supposed to be made.
You're in a big box.
The format is right.
Big box.
And I'm not saying that there's not value to it, because I've learned a ton at USC.
Sure.
I definitely needed to get out.
You have to be an expert at the rules if you want to break them.
Sure.
So it ended up, being more about America and more of a personal journey than about this big gay marriage thing.
What would you personally say you gained from your time on the road less traveled?
I'm much clearer head about who I am and where I'm kind of headed with my life and what I want to do in the next at least couple of years. I'm just excited to kind of turn a new page and with a better focus and vision of what I want to work on and what's really important to me and who's really important to me. And
you know, you watch a movie, and this is why movies are movies, but, you know, they defeat the Empire and there's a big party on the teddy bear planet. There's music and celebration.
People get medals and
wars,
you know, to a John Ring score.
Steve Prefontaine runs the perfect mile and there's a celebration.
And that's the ending I kind of imagine you envisioned when you started the
podcast. Well, that's
we get to New York and we're broke and kind of homeless.
20 close hands come to our small rainy day fundraiser where we get bar money.
All you have is a dog.
Yeah, we got a dog and an apartment not to stay in.
You set a floor to sleep on.
And our moms are driving down tomorrow to, like, buy us dinner, say hi, and take us home.
This is your happy ending. No,
the thing is, here we are is, like, we're trying to figure out what the next step is and how we're getting back to L.A. and where we're going to live.
And yet, if, you know, Snook Eaton walked a 3K for breast cancer, there's, like, a huge epic ending on MTV, and she's playing that. You know what I mean? Like, so
it doesn't,
people,
life doesn't end like
people
that.
People don't realize anymore the separation of the bullshit, the heavy bullshit, from just your everyday life.
You sacrifice what you need to sacrifice.
You know what? People say, like, well, why do you want to do it? You know, why do you want to make art? Why do you want to do all this stuff? And it's like,
I don't know.
There is no answer inside me. It's like, I want to change people's minds or change how I just want to do it.
And
for whatever reason,
can change people's minds.
It's my outlet,
yeah.
And this is the presentation of how I want to outlet myself. And
this is my mind.
Yeah. It can be a film, it can be a radio show, it can
you
be a podcast, it can be a podcast,
whatever.
But, like, I don't know why. It's really not for anybody else.
You know, that's
and
the problem.
And I feel selfish saying that, but I have to realize, that's not selfish. That's... if I'm working for myself and producing the best product I can because I have the care,
right?
Then that's when the financial stuff comes, and that's when you're like, oh, yeah, I did it for the people.
Well, I think, yeah, exactly. You go up there and make that great speech. I think
that's the only way to do your best work, you know, is to care that much and be doing it from such a deep, deep place.
Right.
And then you're going to start producing good work, your best work.
I think this whole social media connection and the internet connection in general is that feeling of instant celebrity.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, John Mayer tweets something, I respond, he retweets it. That's
exactly
how close I am to John
Mayer.
Hey, tweet freaks. John Mayer here. Just headed out to Starbucks since I finished up Raw Dog f***ing Jessica Simpson. Catch you on the other side, rock stars.
I have
if I have 463 friends, think about how many listeners we have on the podcast.
You all have no excuse.
You're not my friends. What are you talking about?
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Facebook should have like three categories. Like, hot chicks I stalk who agree to my friendship.
Yep.
Random people who I lied to about some sort of thing so that they'll come to my thing.
That's good.
Friends.
Friends, fringe, and people I've fucked.
Right,
like a Rolodex.
I will say, like, in any case, regardless of what happened on the way or what this movie will eventually be, the trip was incredible, and even if it was really hard and was life-changing, and it's something that I would never take back. And it's not that somehow I would have found a way no matter what, but... I couldn't really have done it without Mark, and having him as a working partner was the best thing that happened to me this year.
AJ is maybe the nicest person I know. Yeah. Not in what he does, I mean, not in what he says or his opinions on things, but his general demeanor and manner towards people and everything.
Somewhat awful.
He is the first person when somebody says, oh, can I do this with you? Well, yeah. You know, of course.
Yes.
But we've already said, we're like, we get back to LA, we're gonna live together just because it makes sense. But it's like, I need a place where I don't see you. I don't want to see you.
I need space. We're in a 28-foot-by-6 RV.
Yeah.
Just packed against each other.
Get out of my face! Yeah,
for six and a half months.
We need our own personal space. And if we
now you're going back to LA?
Yeah.
Out of here.
For now, I mean, that's where my work's taking me.
You're going to stick around for post?
Yeah.
Post-production, you're thinking it's going to take how long on this?
About a year. I have to go back to USC in spring and take two classes so I can graduate. But the way I see it, I work this year.
Do you have to have this turned in for the end of the
year? I have to have a half-hour cut turned in, but I can honestly turn in whatever and just focus on making, like, the longer-length version that I want.
Nice.
So, I don't know, the way I see it, my job is just to edit this year and put it together and get, like, my other scripts that I've had, like, burning in my head for a while written and ready for when I do graduate. And
nice.
Hopefully, if this documentary goes anywhere, so that I'll have other stuff that I can.
Now, these are narrative script ideas that you have, or more documentaries that you have in mind?
Yeah.
Nice.
I have an idea for a TV series that I have been working on for 2 years now that I'm really excited about.
Nice.
I just, over the course of this trip, finished the pilot script.
So it's preparation and opportunity. That's what it's all about. Just waiting for lightning to strike.
Hey, that's good for you guys. What is Mark doing? He's walking through. He's walking through the lab right now.
Do you guys mind if I'm
looking for a bathroom?
Go outside and have a cigarette.
Let's take a break.
I think we should all do that.
Talking to H.J. Goodrich and Mark Metivier. The film is The Road Less Traveled?
Yeah.
Is that what it's going to be? And it's at theroadlesstraveled.com? You have
roadlesstraveledfilm.com.
Roadlesstraveledfilm.com.
And traveled is with two L's.
Reached AJ's phone. You probably couldn't reach me because I'm too busy walking across the entire country. On my dime, think again. It's on those suckers at You Suck Cock University. I won't say what that really stands for. You know what to do. Leave one at the beep.
Hello, Mr. Goodrich. This is Niles calling again from the University of Southern California. I am calling once again with regard to your outstanding balance due to the University of Southern California. The issue has gained another level of urgency in light of the information that has recently been brought to my attention. It seems as though you are using your student loan money to walk across the country. I think perhaps you have grossly misread or misinterpreted something that was in your student loan contract. I recommend you call me, your bank, or a lawyer immediately, and we can maybe try to come to a solution here. I just need to be very clear. Expenses such as nearly $1,000 for auto repair in Las Vegas. This simply will not be covered by your student loan finances. Please do call us back immediately. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, back. AJ Goodriff. AJ Goodrich. Sorry.
Goodriff.
Goodriff. AJ Goodrich.
Fantastic riff.
Wonderful riff. And Mark Metivier, A Road Less Traveled.
Two L's.
By. LA, Road Less Traveled By? Yeah. Were we putting the by in there?
Yeah.
You guys sure you want to put the by in?
A Road Less Traveled By?
Is it by? Like B-I?
Like bisexual?
Road Less Traveled
Bisexual.
No? All right. Well, top of your head.
Feel free to answer as completely arbitrarily as you like. Whatever comes to the top,
sure,
you know?
Sure. AJ, let's start with you.
Sure.
Favorite city on the tour?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
By far. It's an incredible place. Not just talking about the parties, not just talking about the drive-through daiquiris. It's just an incredibly unique city, and the music's really exciting there, and just the whole feel.
Sweet. Mark, least favorite city?
Least favorite city is Houston.
Mm.
Houston?
Yeah. More strip clubs in Houston than any other city in the world.
Is that right?
True story.
Is there a reason?
I just had bad vibes there the whole time. And, I mean, we told you about the drug raid, but that could have happened anyway.
Right.
That really had nothing.
Especially
to do.
You hoodlums.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I look at you.
Houston just felt so old.
Ugliest city you saw.
Or disappointing.
Oh, Baltimore.
Baltimore was a town.
Yeah, Baltimore was terrible.
Really? Was it just more terrible than you thought it would be?
Ugly and sketchy.
Weren't you guys watching The Wire with the other dude?
No,
you could have seen it right there. You would have known.
That's
to go.
Why he got out of there. He was watching The Wire. He said, I got to get out of this thing before we get
there. We're on our way to Baltimore. Shit now.
Wilmington.
Delaware.
Delaware.
What is in Delaware?
Wellington. Yeah, no, not much. We're in North Delaware. I don't know. It just, when you said ugly or aesthetically displeasing, we walked through a lot of shit, nowhere, non-existent towns in the West and the Southwest and the South and everything like that. But for whatever reason, when you're in the Northeast and industry in these big cities, like, it's so aesthetically displeasing to walk through some horrible, like, decrepit, old, rundown, used to be
most of it under construction.
Delaware.
Yeah.
What's going on in that Delaware?
Nobody knows a lot about Delaware.
You know, it's not
They've got some funny tax laws in Delaware. I knew guys in Pennsylvania that would drive there to buy their cars.
It's not,
it's not a real state.
Matt, can we get a rundown on Delaware here with the tax laws and all that?
Everyone incorporates in Delaware.
Everyone incorporates in Delaware. Why is that?
You guys are incorporated, huh?
In Delaware.
You should
get
a
tax-free shop.
Dude, get a P.O. box in Delaware for Burn Lab and pay no taxes.
You can buy our t-shirts really cheap in Delaware.
Burn Lab.
Strangest or most exciting experience on the trip?
One of the weirdest but also coolest places that we were was the gay hippie camp. Which is a radical fairy town. I don't know how to explain the fairies. They're all over the place. They are mostly gay, but not all. There are people who live on the land and, like, really support themselves just with what they have there. Like, the one we stayed at, everything ran off solar energy, and they, like, grew their own stuff, had this own little lake that gave water, and, like, dug their own outhouses. And,
this is New Mexico?
Yeah. And that... I don't know. That was a really incredible place.
But was that the fairies? That's what that's referring to.
Yeah.
Is because they're mostly gay.
Yeah, that's like their actual name. The radical.
The radical fairies.
Jewish are being really offensive.
I didn't know.
You can like Wikipedia, man.
Well, I thought like the fairies
down there.
I thought you meant fairies like because it seems like now they're tearing down houses that need tearing down. I thought they go around and do these good deeds, and so they're called
fairies.
Well,
they do that too. But I mean, like, some of them have completely secluded themselves from the United States. They don't have IDs. They don't have licenses. They live in these communes, and that's where they live. And they live off their land, and they practice their work, which may be like healing work or meditative work.
Yeah.
I met a guy whose, you know, goal is to kind of architecturally design solar houses to bring people back to caveman-type living or village-type living, so you could live in huts and make a community.
Alternatively, one of the strangest encounters of the whole thing was we were still in Mississippi on the coast, and we were in this sort of strange RV park, and there was this dude who lived in RV not far away with like boarded up windows and told us he plays World of Warcraft and whatnot. But like we were talking to him about gay marriage, he was like, yeah, I don't care.
He's an ex-marine.
Guy, two girls, whatever, that's fine. What I really have a problem with is
black and white.
Yeah.
No miscegenation.
Yeah. And that was really strange for me to hear. It's just something I never expected that you know, someone would be okay with like
you think, yeah, if
gay relationship and not.
Yeah. You think the line was just so thick that if one thing's on this side, then everything's over there. Did you find that for the most part? Because you said that when you started speaking to people, and a lot of people didn't have kind of any bad feelings about gay marriage. But did you find that a lot of those same people did have an issue with interracial marriage?
No, that was really only in
it's like Louisiana.
Alabama.
Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama is pretty much.
Louisiana,
Alabama. Well, not even so much Louisiana. Those are my favorites.
Yeah. Mississippi and Alabama.
Anything, you know, I'd say funniest. I'd say funniest encounter I'm talking about with a person.
Elmer, which was one of our first encounters out in the Mojave Desert.
Nice.
We're walking down. We finally, like, kind of crossed out of the desert to a main road, and we get to this house that has, like, a bottle forest in front of it. It's just tons of sticks and trees with empty glass bottles sticking
all kinds of different colors.
And, windmills and wind chimes and road signs and barbecue signs and license plates. Like, this crazy... You know, if it wasn't set up so artistically in, like, this crazy, weird jungle, you would be a hoarder or something. And this weird old guy comes out with, like, a big beard. He's like, oh, what y'all doing? Well, you know, good to see you here. It's like
this
short old man. Yeah,
this is
Selmer with a big
short
beard.
Short, bearded, high pitch.
Yeah, well,
like an old gold prospector.
He does seem a lot like a gold prospector. And he invited us in for chili and kept telling us that his wife was...
somewhere else or something like that. While I was eating the chili, I kept thinking I was probably eating his wife or whatever.
But
and
then his philosophy was like to dig a hole in your backyard, put some stuff in it, put your dishes, put whatever you got.
Something valuable, cover it up. When you get back to it, it's going to be there. If you got something else, you dig a hole, you put it all in there, you cover it up, and it'll be there. And I'll tell you what, after all these years, pretty soon you're going to have a lot of holes filled with a lot of stuff.
He worked like a night job, and so he would just read like Aristotle and whatever.
I mean, who knows what's true? You always just assume that what people are telling you is true. But, I mean, for all we know, this guy, who knows? He's on our video, like the first short film that we kind of cut together for this film festival.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely like random and hysterical.
Really funny.
Elmer.
Yeah.
Best hookups. You guys didn't go a whole year and a year.
Yeah, let's
and
get
out.
The straight dope.
Yeah, you didn't go that long without getting some sweet tail.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
going
to leave this one up to AJ. All
right, AJ.
He has so many more exquisite tails.
AJ, come on.
I was boring.
You
so
also
speak yes.
Really? Were you boring on the road? Didn't take advantage of all that,
Listen, I'm sweaty, I'm stinky, I live in an RV, we're never really in cities. When we're in cities, we're filming. If you're meeting anybody, it's like, hey, you know, sweetheart, I can't buy you a drink because it's on the documentary budget, but you can come back to the RV where I got a pass waiting. You know, it's like, it was not my mission.
Can't find a way to make that line work.
All right. But AJ,
you
it wasn't
you
my mission either.
I'm a big film director. Huh?
I stumbled in.
Get on it.
Yeah, get on it. I can make you a star.
The best was at the fairy camp. I met and fell in love with a guy named Phoenix there who's, he's nuts. He's 38. He didn't want to be on camera because he doesn't have an ID. It's completely off the grid, but I really spent the whole time in there. And we still talk all the time.
Nice. There's some good stuff. Maybe in the extra footage, we're going to capture some romance.
I never filmed any of it.
Are you
recording
this?
Next time you do it, you have someone. When you walk back to LA.
I will say one thing, as a straight man.
Wait a second
hold
here.
Hold up.
Because...
Mark?
Yeah, there's no way that he's not a...
It really...
It seems like... Yeah.
Obvious. I mean, have you ever seen him with a woman?
You know, spending really a lot of time with my best friend who's gay.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, do they have it easier. And just sexually... You know, we're all men.
You
we're
have not
men.
Entered
so
beast
it's,
mode.
It's just easier because men are men, and when it gets down to the bottom line, it's like, you know, it's a lot easier to get rid of.
Is that, yeah, sure.
And I'm not, like, speaking, you know, judgmentally, or I'm envious, really.
Sometimes you wish you were gay.
I wish it was as easy.
You would agree with this?
Yeah.
Have you done the straight thing before? Have you,
way back, I mean.
You were.
Yeah, but I mean, like I've hooked up with girls, and I had two girlfriends in high school, but.
Dumped one girl and started dating your best friend. If that's not like.
Did you do that?
That's one of the strangest things I've ever heard of.
Yeah,
that's
not
really
the strangest
straight.
Thing I've ever heard.
Are you sure? Are you sure you're gay?
Yeah, I was f***ing this one girl. I broke up with her a week later and f***ed her best friend.
So now that's weird. So you guys had to basically limit kind of what parts of yourself that you'd show to the camera. Because if this thing's rolling all the time...
Constantly. I mean, there's a lot of things we did that you'll never see.
Right.
Because people make too many assumptions.
Yeah.
And you don't want anything that you're doing to just immediately have people make an assumption not listening to what you're saying. But watching what you're saying.
Sure.
I think.
Well, I guess we'll hop along Howie to a little sketch in a minute. Pop this, get some breeze here for a second, and then hop along to a sketch.
Breeze and slap a sketch down.
Yeah.
this has been the Burn Lead Party Hour, Season 1.
Season 1. And it's been a really great time.
This has been a really great time.
Yeah.
You know, I think we didn't really know what we were going after when we started this thing out. And I think we ended up letting this be a platform to meet some like-minded people in Mark and AJ. Hopefully that movie will sooner or later come out.
Yeah.
Get screened somewhere
for
and
sure.
We can learn about the people. What was it?
Elmer.
Elmer, there you go. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see the face of Elmer.
Elmer. And hopefully see the faces of all the people out there.
Great big things.
Great big things
great
are
big
coming.
Things ahead of us.
You just wait.
So we're going to take a little breather here with the podcast, but don't fret. We are going to come back with a Halloween episode.
Nice.
And we definitely want to come back and do a Christmas episode.
A Christmas special. We're making some music.
Spirit.
Some holiday spirit.
With you.
That's all we have, guys, is love for all of you.
Love for everybody out there.
Yeah, let's
much love.
Keep fighting the good fight, you know, and fight the ones you deserve.
Radio station ought to lose its license.
Look up. Are you looking up? Okay, now check the sign, bitch.